The RV carry is aluminium, catamaran. She has an asymmetrical hull with a wing between the two hulls, which gives her great stability. She was built down in Cape Town in 2009, and she's powered with 2,500 horsepower, or in new money, 375 kilowatt engines. And she has a great maneuverability and seakeeping, which makes her ideal for the sort of hydrographic surveying that we're doing.
You would, of course, be working at times in quite shallow waters to get into particular areas that you have to survey.
Yes, indeed. And you know, the beauty of having a hydrographic vessel is that you are actually mapping the seabed as you go along. So we can bring it very close to shore, very close to rocks that are not very well charted. And we can do that because the multi-beam system that's on board has a swath of data being collected all the time, which you can see off to the one side. So what we do is we run in close to the rocks, and then we can see what's inside of the track that we've just gone over. And then we survey back along inside our newly acquired data so that you're slowly working your way towards the shallows on new data all the time.
That takes a great amount of care needed at times, because lots of us mariners want to keep as far clear of rocks as we can.
No, exactly that. And, you know, the lads on the boat that are driving all the time are saying, we don't look at the charts anymore because we know that they're wrong. And that's the whole idea behind Infomar, is to map the seabed and update the charts. But, yeah, it takes a special kind of nerve to trust this computer-generated image that you are creating as you go along.
And of course, that entire survey of the seabed and the charting of waters is very important, because there was a time, I remember being told, when much of the chart work and the survey work of the whole of the Irish coast went as far back as that famous man on the Bounty.
Yeah, Captain Bligh was very active around the Irish coast doing the hydrographic surveys. And we have great respect for the people that were working back in the 1800s, because the charts that they produced were, I mean, amazingly detailed. And in fact, in Dublin Bay, we've actually left a little sliver along the south side of the Howth Peninsula, just so that Captain Bligh is still recognized as one of the charting hydrographers of the day. And we definitely hold him in very high regard as a scientist and a mariner.
Amazing work has been done in recent years, Sean, in mapping the seabed and in working with the Underwater Archaeological Unit, the discovery of shipwrecks. It's an amazing world of chart work and survey that discovers so many things about the Irish coastline.
Indeed, and in the old days, you know, it was all done with lead line, and you got discrete sort of measurements up and down lines travelled by the boats, whereas now we're getting a real 3D picture of everything. So we have the originally charted wrecks. A lot of them would have been positioned with old technology, and indeed by the captain of the sinking ship, who wasn't going to be exactly the most precise positioning. But what we're finding now is that we are able to pinpoint them exactly, and we then tell the archaeology unit that the exact position of it. And if it's a wreck of importance, then they have the opportunity then to advise us whether we can release all the data about it, which eventually gets everything we do is publicly available. But there are a couple of wrecks that we haven't told people where they are exactly until they've been investigated properly by the Underwater Archaeology Unit, and then they release the position of it.
It's fascinating work, because I remember last time talking about them, there were over 300 or 400 shipwrecks around the coast. So the work is amazing, Sean. What's the current plan, or the plan for 2021 for research work?
Originally, the program was split into two phases, and the first phase was to do 27 bays around the country, which were prioritized for a variety of reasons. However, we're now halfway through the second phase, and what we're trying to do now is fill in all the stuff that we hadn't done yet. And we've been working for the last 3 years or 4 years from Dundalk down the east coast and across the south coast. And we're just turning the corner now this year and working up the west coast. So we'll be predominantly working out of Phoenix and out in the west coast of Clare and north of Dingle. And at the same time, we've actually got four boats working, three ribs and two catamarans, of which the Kerry is one. And we still have to sort of tidy up around the Kerry peninsulas, and we'll probably be in Kenmare River and in and around Dingle a little bit. And then, as I said, the offshore work on the shelf will be done out of Phoenix.
It's like hearing you there. It's like detective work at sea.
Yeah, in many ways, and it is looking for clues a lot of the time. So, you mentioned there are 300 or 400 wrecks, but there's actually 3,000 or 4,000 wrecks around the country. And Infomar, I think, has mapped exactly where we found the existing wrecks, because a lot of those older wrecks would have been broken up and we can't even detect them anymore. But we've found, I think there's about 350 now, intact wrecks, which we know exactly where they are. And yeah, it's not just looking at what's on top of the seabed, but we can also look slightly underneath the seabed using chirp sonar, which just penetrates the seabed. And if there is something hidden in the sand, occasionally we see, a clue, so to speak, and we can then ask the archaeology guys to dive it with metal detectors, etc. And then that's kind of the way we're making some of the new discoveries.
It must be very satisfying, rewarding work, and particularly exciting when you come across something that you didn't expect.
Indeed, and I mean, there's a lot of interest in the geology offshore, so the rock formations and ground landscapes from the Ice Age, and there's a whole plethora of reasons why we do it. It's not just about safety and navigation, but looking for good fishing grounds, etc. So it is very rewarding when you know that this data will aid future planning, future fisheries management, and also even looking at coastal flooding and coastal erosion, and that they're all really important things which require the baseline data that we're gathering now.
Final question, Sean. A catamaran, is she easy to handle, comfortable, and what size of crew do you carry?
But generally, we only work in daylight hours, essentially because the fishing pots are, close inshore. At night, we can't see them, and it's dangerous enough work without getting a fouled propeller. But the Kerry is very, very maneuverable because she can work at very low revs, as well as at a top speed of around 20 knots. But it's really when you're maneuvering and you might find yourself down a dark alleyway in a gully somewhere and you have to back out of it. That's when the very slow revs and the responsiveness of having some of the power there is really, really important. And one of our skippers had worked with the Icelandic Coast Guard, and he was a fisherman since he was a boy. And what he can't do with that boat is not worth talking about. I mean, crab her sideways, spin her on a dime, and she is really a lovely boat to work on.
Sounds to me like the ideal boat, that she talks to you and you talk to her, and both are safe and doing great work.
Thanks for the opportunity for us to talk about it, because very often we see public coming down to the quayside or something and sort of staying away, not knowing what the boat is. She looks kind of military in a way with because she's unpainted aluminium. But in reality, I would encourage anybody, if you see her at your local quayside, especially after the COVID restrictions are lifted, to pop down, and the crew on board are always more than happy to tell the public and show the public what they're doing.